Today, I want to begin a series, a short series on overcoming the challenges in your life. It feels like those challenges that Indiana Jones was facing seemed impossible, and you had to work the system. You had to have the keys to work your way through it. And it seems like many of us are stuck in the desert of our lives, wandering around, when I believe God has something better and bigger for us to do. He's got more. I believe He has more than you and I ever imagine or hope that He wants to do through us. But there's a problem. Problem is, we have to cross our Jordan. We have to face usually some kind of huge barrier between where we are and where God wants us to be. So over the next few weeks, next 3 weeks, I want to talk about crossing your Jordan. And it all begins with facing the challenge head on. You know, Victor Grozel did a big survey back in the 60s, 413 famous and exceptionally gifted people. He did a study of this in a book called Cradles of Eminence, the name of the book. And he was just trying to figure out what was the key link between all of these exceptional and famous people, if there was one. And he found one, something significant on 392 of those 413 people. You know what it was? They had to overcome some major obstacle in their life. Maybe many, many major obstacles. In fact, he realized that this is a principle. The most outstanding fact was virtually all of them had to overcome a difficult obstacle somewhere in their lives. And that obstacle actually made them great because they went through it. And as I see the scripture, as I look at the Bible here, the story of all the men and women of our Bible, this is a story that is repeated over and over again. I know we face huge obstacles, but as we go through them, they make us stronger, and they make us great for God's kingdom going through it. Lord God, I pray as we go now to your holy word, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to realize today or begin to see today, what is it? What is the obstacle in my life that is limiting your purpose for me? What are the things that I need to overcome, and how do I overcome them? Lord, I just pray for insight. I pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to us, Lord, and let us not deny those things in our lives that are holding us back. Let us not deny the things that we're resisting to deal with, because you want something more for us. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit today would calm our hearts and guide our thoughts. I pray the words of my mouth, Lord, would not be my words, but your words spoken through me. That today, that each of us would receive the exact message that you have in mind for each one of us personally. You know our situation. You know what we're facing. You know what Jordans we have to cross. Lord, I pray that we would begin the process today to cross these Jordans, to truly find that promised place that you have for each one of us. And Lord, we give you all the praise and honor and glory for this word and this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's get into this. If you turn in your Bible to Joshua chapter 1, we're going to use the story of the children of Israel finally entering into the promised land. You remember that story? And Joshua is now the new leader of the band, and God has called him to go ahead and be a part. But I want to use this picture of the Jordan River, this idea of the Jordan River. You see, it was one of those wonderful things. It's the most noted body of water in the whole Bible. Over 150 times is the River Jordan mentioned in the Bible. And you got to understand, and we're going to see the picture in just a second, but it's a border on the edge of the promised land. And the other side is the Mediterranean Sea. So it is a huge border that people have to cross to get into God's promised land. So I'm going to use this as an example, as an illustration of what is it that you and I face today. What is your Jordan? That's the first question for us today. What is your Jordan? What are the big things that you are dealing with today that is holding you back? Now, cool, I love this. Sometimes when we illustrate or we explain what the Hebrew and the Greek words are, because they have real significance to help you understand the picture. Like, this is a great example. The word Jordan there in the Hebrew is Yarden, Yarden. In the Hebrew, and the word actually means to descend, to go down. And it makes perfect sense once you look at the map here. Because see, the River Jordan, like I said, this is the promised land over here, Israel. And then this is the Jordan River. This is the boundary of the promised land. And the River Jordan flows from Mount Hermon up here all the way down to the Dead Sea down here. Okay? Now, interesting enough, Mount Hermon is 9,200 feet high up here. 9,200 feet high. So the altitude at the top of Mount Hermon is 9,200 feet. Well, what do you know about the Dead Sea? What do you know about that? It's the lowest place on the entire planet Earth. The lowest place on the entire planet Earth. Matter of fact, it is negative 1,400 feet, which means it is 1,400 feet below sea level. And it's the lowest place on planet Earth. So you see, this water travels from 9,200 feet at the top. It's really the snow on top of Mount Hermon. It melts, and that begins the Jordan River. Is the snow melt from Mount Hermon, and it flows down through the Sea of Galilee, out of the Sea of Galilee, all the way down to the Dead Sea. The distance here is only about 90 miles physically. The distance from Mount Hermon to the Dead Sea is about 90 miles physically. The river's about 200 miles long because it goes back and forth like this, but basically about 90 miles. So over that 90-mile period, that 90-mile distance, it drops over 10,000 feet. The water descends from way up there to way down there. So again, this is a beautiful picture, really, of the Jordan River. It explains a little bit, and it's a place where it's always been a divider. It's been a division. It's been in a point to where we've known, look, you cross over the Jordan, you're crossing in to God's promise. So I just ask you, what are you facing? What are some of the Jordans that you're facing today? What are some of these that you consider a barrier to who you want to be or who God wants you to be? And I thought about this for a long time, came up with kind of five categories of these barriers. Number one is kind of relationship barriers. Sometimes it's just friends, you know, trying to be friends at school. How about dating, trying to find the right person for you that's going to be Mr. Right or Mrs. Right? Is that a big barrier or what? Lord, help us all. Or maybe we're married, and the barrier is, how do I keep this marriage together? So many people are facing divorce and facing struggle in marriage. That is their Jordan, is trying to keep their marriage together. Like I said, there's divorce, there's remarriage, and then we have kids. Surely that's not a Jordan. That's a big challenge to how do you raise these kids today? How do you help them and all the issues that go with parenting? And then we have a whole set of work-related ones. What about if you're in the same career but you feel called to someplace new? You're trying to figure out, what is my place in this career? Or what if you're starting a new career, a new job? You're wondering, should I, how should I, what's the answer? Our high schoolers, where am I going? What career does God want for me? That's a Jordan, isn't it? It's a big decision. And you may be asking yourself, how do I find that? Then we have physical-related Jordans, too. Anybody ever have physical needs and physical concerns in you and your family, and you wonder, how are we going to make it? You know, how are we going to get through this? Of course, financial. Always trying to figure out how to make ends meet. How much do I need? Where do I find the finances? And then, of course, there's a lot of personal Jordans. Lots of them. There's anger. There's pride. There's resentments. There's jealousies. There's lusts. There's addictions of all kinds. And even the positive ones like ministry. What is my ministry? Where am I to go? How am I to serve? Maybe you're in mission somewhere and you're asking, your Jordan is, Lord, where is my place? What country, what location, what type of ministry? It's a Jordan. It's a huge thing in your life. And I'm here to tell you, God has an answer for us. He does not want us to linger in the desert forever. It's time to begin to confront your Jordan. You see, God has something bigger for us all. But we have to be willing to cross the Jordan. Remember, the promised land was right there on the other side. The promised land was in visual view. In fact, the Jordan most of the year is only about 50 feet wide. It's basically a creek in Alabama terms. Much of the year, because remember, they don't have a lot of rain over there. So the Jordan is fairly thin and fairly simple in most of the year. So here's what I want you to catch, though. And this is really the important principle for this morning. We have to descend before we can ascend on the other side. If you think about it, somebody really important was baptized in the Jordan. Can you remember who that was? Jesus Christ. Even at the beginning of his ministry, he's fixing to enter into the ministry that God has for him. But what does he do first? Before he's tempted, before he starts, before he has any of that, what does he do first? He goes into the Jordan and he descends beneath the water. There's a sense that you have to come to this point of being willing to submit and descend in the water. Because it's only then, when Jesus came up out of the water, that the other parts of the ministry began to bubble. He heard the voice of God. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. He saw the falling of the Holy Spirit in the dove. All of that happened after he descended. And then he was able to ascend after that. So what I'm saying to you, it may be these Jordans, these difficulties, these struggles that we're all facing, could be anything that you're facing, any kind of challenge, any kind of sin, any kind of life struggle. These things, God is calling you, is challenging you to descend first so you can be ascended later. So let's go to Joshua Wood. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Because here is the story in Joshua chapter 1. God finally says, now. Let's just read this one verse, verse 2. It says, Moses, my servant, this is the Lord talking to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, that's enough right there. You say, Lord, how are we to do this? The man who led us out of Egypt, the one who's been with us for 40 years, the one who's been leading and showing the people what to do is gone. So now what? He said, okay, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. God said to Joshua, now then, the time has come. We call this, remember in our studies, we call this the Kairos moment. Not the Kronos moment, but the Kairos moment. Kronos means the regular time, but Kairos means when God's time shows up, when he's ready. And he felt like that they had done enough wandering. They'd come to the end of it. They've been wandering around. And I just want to say to you, we're going to talk about this in a minute. In fact, let's go on to there right now. Israel has been to this place before, haven't they? Have they been at the edge of the Jordan River before? Yes, they have. Back before all this wandering happened, back when they were already on the move and God had designed on them to come right out of Egypt, to go right to Mount Moriah and get the law, and right from the law, right into the promised land and start fighting, start claiming the land that he had given them. That was his plan. What happened? What happened? You see, they came to that spot 40 years ago. They sent the 12 spies in, you remember? The 12 spies went and looked around and said, wow, this land is great. Oh man, you wouldn't believe how good it is in there. So what happened? 10 of them said, but we can't do this. 10 of them said, but we can't do this. These people are too strong. These cities are too big. The walls of Jericho are too high. We can't win. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 is the retelling of this story. Let me just read a little bit of it. Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 20. Then I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord God is giving to you. See, the Lord your God has given you the land. He's telling them, before you go in, it's okay. God's on your team. Go up and take possession of it as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Moses is telling them, we got this. This is God's will. Verse 22, then all of you come to me and say, let us send men ahead to spy out the land so you can bring back a report and we can know what's going on over there. The idea seemed good to me, so I selected 12 of you, one man from each tribe. They left and went into the hill country. They came back and said, it's beautiful, but we can't win. Look at that, verse 32. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey in the fire by night and the cloud by day to search out places for you to camp and show you the way you should go. When the Lord heard that what you said, he was angry and solemnly sore. No one from this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your ancestors, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Good old Caleb. Caleb and Joshua were the only two people of those 12 spies that are going to enter into the land. Good old Caleb. Yeah. And I love it, man. Caleb, when they get to enter in the land, all the other guys are young, because that whole generation died. There's only two old guys left. Who is that? Joshua and Caleb. And I love what Caleb says to him. He says, give me the hard part. I got this. I love it. That's right. But here, friends, the cost of fear, the cost of their fear, the cost of their rebellion, the cost of their unbelief, the cost of their unwillingness to cross the Jordan meant they had to wander. 40 years wasted, one whole generation. God required that whole generation of men and women to die because they refused. Now, interesting thought. I don't want to get too much into the weeds here with you. But I got to thinking, isn't this kind of good? Because over 40 years, they depended on God for every single thing. He provided their food, their water. He guided them every step. I mean, isn't this what God wants? For us to be dependent on Him? The answer is no. Because you know what? During that 40 years, they were not doing one thing for God. God was having to do everything for them. They wandered, they survived, they ate, they drank, they took care of themselves, but they weren't doing a thing to build God's kingdom. They were such childish here, so much children here, that all they said was, God, do for me, do for me, do for me. And he's like, look, I can do that. But really, I want you to get in the promised land where we can start building the kingdom of God. That's what it really is about. I want you to get to work. I want you to grow up in your faith and get into the work. Stop wandering. Stop focusing on yourself and get into my promised land and let's build this kingdom. Come on, give him a hand. That's what he wants. As long as we wander and worry about ourselves in every detail, we're missing the point. God can do it and he wants us to be dependent, but more, he wants warriors, not babies. He wants warriors. So finally, Joshua is called to lead them across the Jordan. The time comes for us to finally make a decision to move on. And I'm challenging you today that you can look at your problems all you want, because they're going to be insurmountable. I know you're looking at it, and there's so many of our problems, so many of our concerns, it just seem too big. But here's the encouragement I want to give you. Look at the next few verses of Joshua 1, because God makes a list of promises. And I just love these promises. And you'll see it. I've tied it to the names of God because I think these promises come out of his character. But these are the promises you and I need to claim as we go through our life. Joshua 1:3. God said, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. So the first great promise I call the every place promise. The every place promise. In other words, if you will trust him to step over your Jordan, God's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. His name is Jehovah Jireh. Come on, say it with me. Jehovah Jireh. Listen, you and I need to claim the every place promise. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to be prosperous. It doesn't mean that we're going to have success in this earth. But what I'm saying to you is God will provide what you need. You have to believe the same God who worked with Joshua is working with us today. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He will provide for our needs if we'll only step across the line. Look at this next one, verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I call this the no one promise. God will protect. He is the Jehovah Nissi. Come on, say it with me. Jehovah Nissi, God my banner. He stands in front of us. He stands behind us. He is the banner over us. He's the one who protects and guides and corrals us like a mother hen gathers her chicks. This is our God. He wants to protect us. And I'm telling you, if you'll stand, if you'll step over your Jordan, if you'll trust him and risk the impossible to go through these things, God will protect us. Look at this next one. Second part of verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. My Jesus said that too in the New Testament, didn't he? But he was reflecting on what God had said way back in the Old Testament. And I call this the presence promise. God will be near. That word is Jehovah Shema. Jehovah Shema. God will be near to you, not just with you, but I'm talking about close to you. I'm talking about with you. I'm talking about intimately connected to us. He will walk with us. He will cry with us. He will go with us through the Jordan. He doesn't call us to go because he hates us. He calls us to go because there's something better on the other side. And we can sit back here and say, God, why? God, why am I going through this? Or we can face it. We can face the situation and say, what do we have to do to get over? And I have to believe that Jehovah Shammah will go with us through it. We have to believe that. And then last, the last great promise. Be strong, verse 6 of Joshua 1. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. You know what? The blessing promise. I call it the blessing promise. Because back in the Old Testament, God says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. You know, I said, I will bless your forefathers and all those who come from you. But here, the El Shaddai. The El Shaddai is the name for a God who is a blessing, who blesses, who surrounds, who wants to nurture and strengthen and build up. Our God is a blessing God. He's a promise keeper. He made a promise to the people. He will keep his promise. And he said, look, you chose not to take the promise I had for you. You chose to reject the blessing I had for you. You chose to wander because you wouldn't obey and trust me. The same is true for us today, and I'm speaking to my person right here. I can sit here all day and tell you how holy I am, or I can be honest with you and tell you there's a lot of Jordans in my life that I sit back and I say, I just don't know. I just don't know. Believe me, this whole building and everything we've been through over the last few years was a huge Jordan, wasn't it? We looked at this thing 3 years ago. We just had our third anniversary of the land a couple of days ago when we walked up and looked at that water tower and we said, oh, my God, is it possible? But how? How is this possible? And what good does land do us? We can't meet outside on a dirty lot. We can't sit in the mud. What? I know, we did sometimes. We had the prayer garden. At least we had one little high place to worship, you know. But I'm telling you, God has better for us. This is part of the blessing promise of our promise-keeping God that we have, our El Shaddai. He wants better. He doesn't want us to feel the stress and the unease of our lives. He wants us to truly live in the hope and the joy and the peace of a relationship with Him. He does. But we are not willing to cross these Jordans, to confront these things. And I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. The sins and the choices that I make and some of the things that I do, it's my Jordan. I caused it. My rebellion has caused this problem. So what's your problem? What's the problem here? Look at verse 10 of Joshua 1. It says, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own. Okay, cool. How many of y'all have ever been to a creek? Anybody ever been to a creek? What do you do when you want to cross the creek? Yeah, take your shoes off, but you know, you just find that you kind of find the stones, right? And you kind of walk through the stones. I mean, the creek over, you know, the Jordan River is maybe 20 feet wide. What's the problem? Well, here's the problem. You got to go to chapter 3, verse 15, which we'll talk about later on. But I want you to look at chapter 3, verse 15a. Just this one little phrase makes all the difference in the world. Chapter 3, verse 15a says, now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Uh-oh. You see how sweet and how nice it is most of the year? Could you get across that? Probably about 20 or 30 feet wide, maybe 12 to 15 foot deep. Nothing else we could wade across that somehow. But during the harvest time, what do you think happens to this wonderful river? It looks like this. When the harvest comes, the river widens out to 1 mile width. The river widens and deepens to over 20 foot deep. The water flows at 40 miles an hour while it's at flood stage. Now, God said, now, right now. You're saying, now, God, you know, I don't mind crossing, but now is not the best time, Lord. It's the middle of a flood stage. And they say the hardest part about crossing the Jordan in the flood is all the stuff underneath the water. Remember, it comes up and all the trees and all the bushes and all the rocks are hidden now underneath. And they say around the border of this is a huge swamp. Said you'll sink over a human deep just trying to get to the shore because of the swamp. I mean, this thing, that's the whole reason we love the Jordan, because it overflows and makes the land fertile, which raises the crops. That's where they like the Jordan doing this. But God said to cross right now. So here they are, 3 days. They pull up their camp and they're sitting there beside this roaring river for 3 days. And people are going, probably the young men could make it, but I got babies. And they're standing around with maybe thousands of sheep, thousands of cows. And they're like, I'm going to have to leave my whole flock to get across here? This is not possible. You see, then the wonderful excuses began to come. And I'm talking to me here. But the first one is, well, we have to set a time to move. Maybe there's a better time, Lord. I'm telling you, here's what I do, and I don't know about you, but right now is not a very good time. I got too much on my plate right now. I'm just way backed up. Is there any other procrastinators in the room? Oh, Lord, I promise you I'll get to that Jordan. I promise you I will. But first, I have to do this and this and this. The Lord said to Joshua, you will cross this river in 3 days. In some ways, I challenge you and me to go ahead and just set a date. Go ahead and say, Lord, by faith, I'm going to attack this problem with all I have. I'm not going to put it off. I'm not going to deny. I'm not going to soften it. I'm going to deal with it now. Maybe you have an addiction in your life. Maybe you have some kind of personal issue. Or maybe there's some things that you know that God has been talking to you about for many years. It's time to deal with. Well, you got to just set a time. You got to just decide in your heart, it's time to deal with this issue. Because there will never be a better time. And in this case, you know, what they did last time, they were afraid to cross because of the giants on the other side. It wasn't the river. It was the other side they were afraid of last time. Of course, the barrier seems uncrossable. It does. When you look at it, it's just like Indiana Jones. You're looking at this thing and you say, well, there's no way I can get across here. There's no way. It seems uncrossable. And then people begin to say, well, maybe there's a better way, Lord. Maybe there's a better way, you know. Surely you don't mean that we have to cross here. Maybe we can go up the river some. Maybe we can wait till everything levels off. Maybe there's a bridge somewhere. There's always an excuse to try to find another way around it than just dealing with what you see in front of you. Or maybe this one. We don't know what's on the other side. We don't. Maybe some of you are saying, well, if I can just know what's going to happen. When I make this choice, when I tell this person to get out of my life and I'm going to go towards somewhere else, or if I tell this job I'm not going to stay at this place anymore, I'm going to go somewhere else, you can't guarantee what's going to happen, can you? Do you know what's going to happen? No, you don't. And so what we say is, well, if I can get more information, if I can do a little more internet research, if I can just talk to some more people, and we just analyze until we're stuck. You know, we just want to have more information. And of course, the worst answer, and I see this most often in us, is why not just stay here? Let me just stay here because it's safe. Even though I'm totally unfulfilled, I'm not really in God's will. I'm not really seeing anything good, motivating, happening in my life, but I'm safe here. Maybe it won't be worth it to take a chance. That's because you don't know or don't believe that God really has something better for you. Nation of Israel is a good example that God has something better for us. And so finally, verse 16. Go to verse 16 of Joshua 1. The people agree, at least in principle, to trust. And they answered Joshua, "Whatever you have commanded us to do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord go with us as he was with Moses." You know, we trust you, Joshua, but God better be on your side or we're in trouble. "Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." In the next few weeks, we're going to talk about the next two steps that God required before they could cross their Jordan. But I can't wait to tell you the rest of this story. Because you're looking at your Jordan just like I am and saying, it's uncrossable. Or we're saying, I really don't want to deal with this hassle. It's easier just to give up, to settle. But look, I believe God has a promised land, promised place. It's not a place of prosperity. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel today. What I'm talking about is a promised place where you and the Lord are seeing wonderful things happen spiritually. A place where you can see that you are making a difference in the kingdom of God. He wants you to be a warrior for Him. But it takes crossing that Jordan. Dealing with your personal, family, relational issues that you're dealing with today. You know, Streams in the Desert yesterday, she talks about 3 years ago, but yesterday she sent it to me. And the title of it is, "God Will Make Obstacles Serve His Purpose." And here's what he says in Streams in the Desert. "The meaning of trials is not only to test our worthiness, but to increase it." And he makes this point. "As the oak is not only tested by the storm, but through it, it is strengthened." That is true for us too. Friends, I don't know what your Jordan is, but I know where this altar is. I don't know when you plan to attack it, but today is a good day. And here's what I want to tell you. If you will attack it by faith, in a God who promises these promises. He says He will provide your needs because He's our Jehovah Jireh. He promises to protect us because He's our Jehovah Nissi. Promises to be with us close because He's our Jehovah Shema. Isn't that great? He is with us as we go through it. And then He's a promise-keeping God. He's our El Shaddai. He doesn't make a promise without fulfilling His promise. So I challenge you today to stop turning your back on your Jordan and let's face it. Let's face the challenge, and then next 2 weeks we'll figure out how to step out next. But you have to face it and not hide from it, not run from it, not put it off anymore. It's time. It's time to cross the Jordan. Come on, let's pray. Let's this altar's open for us. And you know what your Jordan is today. You know what you need to pray for. So let's begin the process this morning.